Checks. And it's 9 a.m. Monday, May 20th, 2019. We are convening as the 4-H Extension Service District in the BCC conference room. Commissioner Lily Morgan is not in attendance. We have 8 items if you count. I take back my last statement. Commissioner Morgan is in attendance.
And poof! She's here.
You mention her name, she walks through the door.
Apologies.
No problem. I have only opened the meeting, and so I was about ready to say there's 8 items on the agenda, if you include adjourn. And so, what would you like to tell us today?
So is what I've been doing with the commissioners. First, let me introduce myself. I'm Willie Riggs. I'm the regional director for the Southern Region for Cooperative Extension. I'm housed in Klamath Falls, but I cover Klamath Lake, Jackson, Josephine, and Douglas County as my territory. Been meeting with the committees, establishing service district budgets. We're thankful in my region that all 5 counties have service districts approved by the taxpayers, and it's up to me and my faculty and staff to make sure that we propose a budget to the committees that are sound, that we're but I'm fiscally conservative, and make sure that we have the funding allocated as the voters determined and fits the needs of cooperative extension. So with that, if I may, is what I've been doing is I've been reading, so that it's part of the record, the entire budget message, unless
please
something different.
Well, actually, no, let's wait on that, because that's actually on the agenda a little further down. So what they're asking for right now is an update on extension programs and services within Josephine County. I think traditionally in the past, is this the meeting where every staff member gave a 5-minute presentation?
It's come and gone. It's been in it. It's been out of it. It's been out of it. So this year it's out of it again.
I appreciate that, because I am supposed to be somewhere else right now as well.
Okay.
And so I think the biggest thing that we've been facing is looking at down the road where the OSU Extension is looking at taking back over, but moving locations at some point as well. And so I know the general fund has been building in that way. But is there any specifics that you think are important to highlight as far as updates in this last year, obviously with a new director?
So our leadership changed, the administrator for this region changed. That will change again, because I'll be retiring July 31st. My position is open. That closes this week. I do have members from every county on that selection committee, so that they can have a voice in the replacement. In terms of changes to the budget, the only things I've modified is a little bit in salary to meet the new Oregon state law, the Fair Labor Act. And I also, in the line item in the budget on capital improvements, it says parking lot, but I put a slash. I think it would be prudent for us to look at, should we consider purchasing a vehicle for the service district? I think we can, I ran some numbers, Sue and I can run some other numbers. I think we can own and operate one for around 45 cents a mile, and we're paying out 58 cents a mile when faculty members drive to be used. So those are the only 2 major changes in the budget.
Okay. So I think the next thing would be for us to elect a chair of the district budget committee. I didn't ask, did you have everyone introduce themselves?
No, we hadn't made it there.
Okay. I would say let's start with that. So Willie, you introduce yourself. I'll have the other members introduce themselves as well for the record. That would be you.
Okay, thank you. I thought you said Willie was going to reintroduce himself. Okay, my name is Peter Prenderelli, and I am just a member of this review committee. Thank you.
I'm Cindy Andres. I'm a 4-H volunteer.
Diane Hoover, member of the public, currently director of workforce training at RCC.
Okay. And
let's just go one more.
Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, I'm Sue Hunt. I'm the 4-H agent for this county, as well as county leader. So.
All righty. So, So you're starting and introducing our budget, but we're going to come back and have an actual budget meeting and adopt the budget in June.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And Diane, are you actually on the board?
I am.
Okay, so you're one of the three budget committee members.
I am. They asked me to be on the budget committee.
When did that process happen?
We had that meeting with the commissioners. What day was it that I was over here? We
about
had
a half ago.
Okay, I just, I wasn't here for that meeting,
yeah.
So I,
right.
Okay,
yeah.
Very cool.
Went through the three applicants that we had and selected one.
Okay, so you, just making sure we're all on the same page. Okay, so I think the next thing would be for electing a chair of the district budget committee, and then we'll go into the budget message, and then the proposals that you have in the budget, if that's okay. So I'll accept nominations for a chair.
I nominate Lily Morgan.
Okay.
Is there any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, I would say all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. Motion carries. And then now, dear sir, we can have you read the budget message.
Now you guys get to see if I can read properly. The proposed budget for the Josephine County 4-H Extension Service District has been prepared according to Oregon local budget law and is presented for your review and comment. It was developed following consultation with local citizen advisors, faculty and staff, and a careful review of the current and previous year's expenses and income. It includes a general fund beginning balance of $136,566. Projected income of $369,652, expenses of $381,211, $24,000 for potential capital improvements investment, a $20,000 transfer to the building fund, and $24,779 in contingency for an ending balance of $56,227. The building fund is expected to have a beginning balance of $352,199, interest income projected at $4,200, and a $20,000 transfer for an ending balance of $376,399. General fund income and other resources are detailed on LB 20, and the general fund expenses and other requirements are detailed on form LB 30. Details for the building fund are provided on form LB11. Within these forms, the proposed budget is listed in the columns labeled proposed budget, proposed by budget officer. The budget currently in effect is listed in the columns labeled as adopted budget this year, historical data, those are actual amounts as provided in the two prior fiscal years. The Josephine County 4-H Extension Service District accrues and expends funds through a county-level account in the district's name. That account accepts tax revenues and related funds and pays audit and other administrative expenses directly. All other extension services are purchased by the district through an intergovernmental agreement with Oregon State University Extension Service. OSU tracks expenses billable to the district through a separate account along with any credits to that account and submits detailed invoices for reimbursement quarterly. In addition, Extension separately tracks income and expenses not attributed to the district but are important for the operation of the local Extension office. More detail about the budget for Josephine County OSU Extension office along with prior year's actual data can be found in Appendix A. The spreadsheet shows three columns of data for each year. The district general fund, that includes district activity within the account maintained by the county finance department, that's the actual district budget activity. The OSU district related, that includes expenses incurred by OSU Extension Service that are reimbursed by the district per its intergovernmental agreement and any other reimbursements that would offset expenses. OSU non-district, that includes self-funded activity of the Extension Office, including a variety of generated revenues and expenses associated with those activities. Extension's budget request from the district includes $272,139 for personnel expenses and $112,072 for service and supplies, offset by an estimated $7,000 in reimbursements from other entities. Personnel costs include salary and other payroll expenses for one full-time office staff, one full-time office manager, a .70 FTE horticulture master gardener faculty member, one full-time EPA assistant. In 2019, we budgeted $20,000 in capital outlay to cover costs associated with the parking lot repair and $20,000 anticipated for the office remodeling. Neither project has been initiated. In the fiscal year 20 budget, I have included $24,000 in parking lot repairs, funds that may be required or an alternative use to fund to purchase a district-owned vehicle. Funds for potential office auditorium remodeling are budgeted within the OSU contract, which will allow for the efficient completion of the work when friends and food and friends vacate the facilities. I believe our position is strong enough to accommodate making a $20,000 transfer to the building fund in fiscal year 1920. A resolution renewing the building fund was adopted in June of 2016. It expanded the scope of the fund to include repairs and upgrades to existing facilities. Note that the current budget does not anticipate drawing upon building fund resources. Sufficient resources are available within the general fund to carry out the identified improvements. I recommend certification of taxes of the district permanent rate limit of 0.0459 per 1,000 of assessed value on taxable property in the county, and estimate that this will result in a $355,452 in current year taxes for fiscal year 1920. Prior year taxes are estimated to be $10,000, and I estimate the district will receive another $4,200 in interest and other income. My budget includes an unappropriated ending balance of $56,227 in the district's general fund, which when coupled with the balances held at OSU, will be sufficient to meet cash flow requirements between the start of the budget year, July 1st, and when taxes become available, typically the later part in November. I anticipate that the Extension Office will generate an additional $23,200 in revenue through classes, fees, enrollments, sales, and reimbursements. These will be invested to expand the scope of programs and the services available to the Josephine County residents. Respectfully submitted, William Riggs, District Budget Officer.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Yes, the $4,200 on the, it says prior year tax estimated to be $10,000. I estimate district will receive $4,200 in interest and other income. Is that from page one? Is that interest paid on your building fund balance?
I believe so.
Of $352,199?
Yes, that's the
okay, so you don't have any other accounts that are interest-bearing, just right. That one, because that is set aside. Okay, all right, good enough. That's, I'm just curious. And then do you have any, well, of course, you probably don't have any ideas. On the parking lot fund, you put $20,000 in parking lot repair. Do you do that every year?
We've done that the last 2 years that okay. I've been associated with the budget. I think the issue came up last year, and so we started allocating money because of the potholes.
Right. Okay. Did the potholes ever get fixed?
No.
Not through a formal process, I believe, Sue, that they've
patched.
Been putting
they patched. Patched.
It's not fixed. Fixed. No, it's been patched.
I'll say this. I don't know. You know, we don't know what the future is. You know, I would lean more towards your building fund in an effort to get that ramped up rather than fixing potholes in the parking lot. You know, putting $20,000, if you could say, you know, okay, you don't need to worry about that parking lot. When we have some asphalt left over from a road fix, we're going to throw it in the pothole and roller it down, scrape it up and be done. Because I don't want to see you guys spend $20,000 a year. There's $40,000 that you would put into a parking lot that might get ripped up in mm-hmm. 4 to 5 years. And I'd rather see you, if we can, you know, maybe work with Public Works and take care of the patching of our facility, basically, then you could put an additional 20 into your, or 15 of that 20 into your building fund and ramp that up faster, because that's going to be money well spent, I think. That's just my thoughts. Thank you, Chairman, for letting me
fill
my guts.
I appreciate your thoughts there. I think that that's kind of where things have been headed the last year, and with the transition of your position, I don't know that we've had much opportunity to talk with you, but as far as county service in that area, all of it's kind of being discussed on being moved out of the area. And so if the fund is set up to remodel the building, it might be more appropriate to be looking at that as a fund of finding a new location. And
Yeah, that's a concern I had as well. I mean, you just alluded to the idea of 4 to 5 years that you're going to be ripping up the parking lot, and I'm wondering if that includes removing the building or whatever.
Well, this is, and these, I'm just, I'm alluding to that because that may happen. Right now, we're in the midst of a fairgrounds master plan.
Sure.
And we'll know more about that within the, probably the next couple of months when we get that master plan solidified. But however, you know, there's a lot of movement out there in that end, whether it be with that area all falling into the
convention center.
Urban, well, no, yeah, the whatever. Urban.
Okay. Urban renewal district.
Urban renewal district.
Yes, okay,
that just came in the last year and a half or so. So when you get that in, that all of a sudden that's another card in the deck that we didn't have before. So I think the dynamics out there and the way that whole section of town, not just the fairgrounds and stuff, we're going to have to take a real comprehensive look at what do we want that to look like in the not, you know, it might be 10 years. I don't know.
But
like
we might know a lot more in a year.
But we'll know a lot more in a year.
Because do you have any kind of a long-term lease agreement of those facilities, or does it go to year to year as far as?
That's where we're in the infancy stages of that, so okay. I can't answer that for you. But I can, I think what I would like to do is maybe sit down with Mr. Brandis over at Public Works and say, you know, have you taking a peeksie at that parking lot, and
you know,
they get a half a, you know, you get a half a load of asphalt left over from doing the patch where it's saying, just go ahead and throw it in the holes.
I think that's what they've done in the past, is when they've had excess from a job, they've patched various holes.
Right, I mean, I don't know how strong a requirement for you to keep that up to a Class A parking lot.
Well,
the other issue is the buses and sharing the lot with the Three Rivers School District bus barn, and the wear and tear from the buses going through is actually the biggest wear and tear.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mixed bag of falling on the shoulders of the district when the school district is what's causing most of the wear and tear.
Right, and I just think, you know, $20,000 in gosh for 2 years, that's 40 grand now instead of 375, you're up to 4 and something.
But didn't you say that possibly instead of the parking lot repair, you might use those funds to purchase a vehicle?
That was a proposal that I would put before this board. We've got vehicles in other counties that it just saves wear and tear on personal vehicle, and it's more, conservative use of our limited funds for travel.
Now, would that be something that you would like to get through our Public Works Department, through our fleet side?
We would follow, yes.
Or is
especially
that
if we can ride on coattails with us, we would go through the state purchasing process.
They have access through the state purchasing. That's different than our county fleet program.
It would be owned by OSU.
No, it would be owned by the service district.
Okay, but it wouldn't be owned by the county. It's the service.
It's service district.
All right.
So you guys would maintain it yourself, or right? Okay.
But we would go through the same process of bidding, just like the state, to get the best price.
Correct, and the state, do you guys get the benefit of, like, other things? So, like, if the state gets a bid and they get that lowest bid, other agencies can jump in on that
correct.
Bid.
Okay, correct.
So you would go through that route. Does DAS correct. Do your support services, or because you guys are state employees, or do you get, or is maintenance... I mean, do you pay DAS for maintenance, or do you have to find your own maintenance?
We find our own.
Okay.
In the other counties, we do it at the local level. We establish a contract with the local vendor.
Okay.
To maintain the vehicles. And if we did that, then it would require a vehicle use agreement between OSU and the district that allows OSU state employees to drive the vehicle.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay.
I think it's still money well spent.
Community Corrections has one or two vehicles that the state provides under their state system. So where 10 of the vehicles are county maintained and owned, two of them or one or two of them are state. And just
have
means,
a separate
correct.
Lane there.
So it's just an interesting different process. You get fuel at a different place. You get maintenance in a different place. And I was just curious.
I think it sounds like better use of the money than filling a hole in the ground out there, especially if there's another way we can address that hole in the ground on a temporary basis, because I'd be just like saying, we're going to go in and rip it all up and pave the whole parking lot, and then you go, this thing's going to get torn up. Because it very well could. It could be there for another 20 years. I don't know. Sorry. We're still in those
And parts. Honestly, it's more than just the Fairgrounds Master Plan. It's the whole region out in that area that is under the urban renewal. And so previous projects similar to that in our community. For instance, the Parkway and the Third Bridge were built under a previous redevelopment agency type program. So all the shopping that went in along the parking lot all the way out to the hospital were all areas, some of the improvements along the Parkway as well, with walking bridges and the walking bridges, one of them, the trail that comes back along the other side of Riverside Park. That was the previous one 25, 30 years ago. That it was a 20 some year project. And so now the opportunity is the urban renewal, which is again a redevelopment agency type program, is in place. So it actually impacts you guys, because any increases in the next 20 years in taxes are not going to you. And so where your tax essentially is frozen and all the increases are going into this program.
It's fun,
and then after the 20-year program is completed, if there's monies left over, they can distribute them back to the districts. And but it's an opportunity of any projects in the district to kind of weigh in and take advantage of being a part of that as well. And since it's located in, there's a good timing for that. So any development that happens, that increase in tax value kind of goes back into projects, into the value and reinvestment.
So. I've heard three different time frames on that agency. One, I just heard 20, I've heard 25, and I heard 30. So there's, you know, we probably should establish how long that's supposed to go.
Mine was an estimate based on the original one was about a 20, but it actually went 27 or 28. Right. You know, what they ended up doing is they were closing it down, wrapping up projects, and then they finally shut her down.
Well, it was just
guesstimates.
We need to just clarify that, because I've been blistered because if I say something, it's fact, and if it turns out different, I lied.
I acknowledge mine was an estimate.
Make sure that we all know that these are all estimates.
My concern is you're expending capital or money for capital improvement to that facility, and if you don't have any kind of a long-term lease agreement or something,
exactly.
it might be money squandered.
I agree with you.
Now you're saying 20 years.
Yeah.
No.
That's the lowest number here.
No.
That's the redevelopment agency
that reinvests in
that
community.
Nothing to do with the possible relocation of the whole extension service then.
It may be that at some point we look at relocating the services to a different location. And so having that money in the building fund,
that fund to help
that would cover the cost of moving, I think would be more advantageous than looking at remodeling that building right now.
It's just another source of income that could come help in your relocation.
Right. Well, there's so much compaction in the existing facility that they're anticipating the option to expand once Food and Friends moves out, and I know that there's some remodeling that needs to be done to accommodate the office structure.
Well, we'll try to get you the master plan's coming up, and let's try to get you some kind of time frame that you can work with, whether that speeds that up or slows it down. Give you an idea whether or not it's a good investment to say, okay, let's remodel these, or is it something that we can do without? And
or what figure out what accommodations to get through if you know.
For the time.
Right.
I wouldn't be looking at a big remodel right now.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, our timelines for Food and Friends has not been.
Still in the future.
Exactly.
I heard July now.
Do we have any
idea? That was a rumor I just heard yesterday.
2020 or 2019?
Well, they said that there's still.
I never knew what the
drywall needs to be hung, but they are. Are they funded, fully funded? Because I know that there was a shortage of funds.
They were able to go back and get an additional CDBG grant. No, is that the wrong one? I could have the wrong letters.
Okay.
But we were told that there was. They were able to go back and get some more funding through the state program grant that they had originally got funding for. So they should have the funding.
Okay.
I don't know how the mark was so missed as far as awareness of... Let me put it this way. I've watched enough remodel TV shows to know that every remodel has extra hidden costs.
Right.
And I'm not really sure what building inspections do ahead of time, because they never seem to locate what's going to happen until you're in the middle of the remodel.
I'm not going to comment on that, but not at all. You know, being in the old car business, and the guy says, oh, I've done that 100 times, and then he's shocked when he finds rust in a rocker panel. I go, are you kidding me? Yeah. They're all rusty.
Yeah.
Cars don't shed water.
Right.
But
and buildings that old always have asbestos.
Right.
Or something. Lead paint, asbestos, typically.
I think everybody really needs to take this Food and Friends example as something never to get involved in again, because that thing is so far exploded, because we've gotten these entities that promise us all the money, but they're going to give you, I'll just use, they're going to give you $100,000, but because their requirements raises the cost of the project $250,000, you should have not taken their $100,000.
Yeah.
You should have just gone ahead and done it and been over with. You could have done it with private money.
It meant it wasn't going to be a quick process. Hopefully it will get done, and hopefully it'll mean that you guys can get that space back. Unfortunately, in the same time frames that this hoping has been going on, there's been just massive progress around the fairgrounds and the activity there. And with that, the potential of really revitalizing that area in a huge way for the community. I know that 2 years ago we were facing, do we shutter the fairgrounds? Do we move entirely?
I agree.
We were asked as a board, before Commissioner Fowler was here, if the arena, we're just going to tear it down, or do we promote reinvesting in that roof? And because we said no, we're committing, we'll give you a 10-year commitment for that arena, they were able to get the grants to Rotary, and then some other grants, and then they're getting the commercial kitchen put in the commercial building. They're now talking about sound systems and different stuff like that, and not to mention the stuff separately with horse racing and where that has the potential of going. But for those of us that grew up here, we all remember the fairgrounds as being a vital part of growing up. And I think all of us, I'm speaking for myself on behalf of everybody, not with their permission, miss that nostalgia, you know. And I, for the last couple of years, I've enjoyed, I'll go to the fair and there'll be kids waiting in line. I'm like, so what are you here for? Oh, I'm a new 4-H person. Awesome. Yeah. The 4-H is taking off, and it's the amount of new kids in the 4-H program is awesome. I'm shocked at how many kids, especially the homeschooling community, really seems to have connected with that 4-H activity. But how many of these kids are not necessarily little, but some of the older ones getting involved. And some kids I graduated high school with, their kids are getting into shooting. And their daughter is an outstanding shooting competitor. And I'm like, that's awesome. You know, so it's just kind of neat to see that the program is thriving, and obviously there's always more that can be done, and there's talks with that with the new fair board manager and all that other kind of stuff. But for me, I think the opportunity for us to dream and see what the future is going to be, and making sure that agriculture and the 4-H is an ongoing part of that is critical. And
everything we have talked about, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, and when we say there's going to be a change, it's always been for the better. It's very, I don't know of a time that we said, well, you can expect a change and we're phasing you out or something of that sort. It's always been for the betterment and a better facility, upgrading every one of our programs. As we come out of the 2008-2012 recession, we're miles ahead of some of the other counties are just now toppling into what we are on our way out of. So that's a good thing, a good position to be in. So let's
move on.
Yeah.
Please. Just because I forgot I was supposed to be somewhere else at 8:30.
Just remember.
Yeah, it's an all-day meeting though, so that's okay.
Do you want to open it up for the public?
Is there anything different specifically in the budget lines? I want to make sure each of you board members or budget committee members have the opportunity, if there's any questions of specifically related to the proposed budget, related to, do you have thoughts and comments about the vehicle versus the building fund, recommendations and all that. So, and we're, I think the one thing that stood out to me is we're going to have a significant ending fund difference than a beginning fund balance, and that that 70-some thousand dollar difference has me a little worried as far as, you know, what is the outcomes of what that's providing in more services versus where we're kind of just kind of, I don't know, I'm just kind of curious, pulling down that ending fund balance and the beginning fund balance is a pretty big difference there.
So the difference in the balance is going to be tied mostly to personnel costs. So is what I'm looking at is the Oregon law, the Fair Labor Pay law. And so they're not looking at job titles, they're looking at job duties. And so we've had to convert two counties from an office specialist to an office manager, because what they're doing in the office is truly office manager work. And so I've had to adjust the pay up on in two counties from an OS to an office specialist to an office manager. That means taking people from roughly $32,000 to $36,000 to a base pay of $50,000. That's the lowest office manager I can get through OSU.
I just thought you just said this is not about titles, it's about duties. And now you say, well, I got to make them an office manager.
Because of the duties that they're doing, we have to change their title. Okay. And we have to pay actually everybody the same wages for doing the same job in the office. And so that requires that change. The other thing that we're doing is we've moved from a 0.75 faculty research or extension program assistant. Instead of 3/4 time, we've moved that to full time because we need 25% of that time spent with master gardeners and small farms with Sarah, our new small farms agent. So that is going to be the majority of that cost.
Yeah.
I will say that the goal is to take less off of our county leaders, people like Sue Hunt, so that she can spend more time doing her 4-H program work and less time doing administrative work, worrying about potholes, worrying about toilet paper, worrying about water, worrying about leaky roofs. She needs to be focused on her program area and kids, and an office manager. They can handle working with whoever a contractor is to get the needs of the office met.
Okay.
Anybody have any other questions?
I have a question about this vehicle. I've been involved in Master Gardeners and been in that office oftentimes, you know, seeing where multiple people are gone to OSU or whatever. Quite often they don't have the same schedule of travel time, so one is coming and going or whatever. I don't see how one vehicle is going to solve that issue with multiple people having to be gone at multiple times. That's my only question is you're still going to end up paying mileage to some people to use their personal vehicles. There's no way to
There's
get
no
around,
way around it.
It.
Okay. Have you ever looked into, because we did in fleet, we looked into, like, say, we've got to deal with, I think it's one of the car rental companies, I don't know which one it is, to be honest with you. But you can get, like, for instance, our legal counsel had to go to Salem and back. And he went and rented a car for 2 days, and it was far less than paying the mileage for him to take his car wear and tear on it. And he gets a brand new car up and back, and as long as it's portal, and it's not, you know, have the drop charge, it's dirt cheap to rent a car. So maybe that is something you need to look into. If you have one vehicle and you get somebody that bubbles up, rather than say, well, you know, you got to take your own car, you know, offer that as an option. That we're going to lease your car, and it'll deliver it to the door. You get in it, drive it, you drop it off here, and they'll come pick it up.
And we do have a lease or rental car agreement with Enterprise.
One was with the county as well.
Yeah,
that's who our state contract is with.
Well, I didn't want to mention any company name because I hadn't researched it and I wasn't sure of my facts, so I didn't say the company name. If I said one, it'd probably be the other, and then I'd be a liar.
That's a good politician.
Well, and I just said one, and who knows, they could renegotiate the agreement next week. And
you never know. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
we don't know we have the state.
Well,
we don't know we have the agreement.
And it's always a balance of evaluating where you're at currently and what's the most cost effective.
Yeah.
Is it renting? Is it having the vehicle? Is it the personal vehicles? And it's, I think it's different seasons in the year, different things make more sense.
Yeah.
And so as long as you guys are always looking at that, granted, it won't be you. You know, you're not allowed to retire, so just kidding.
I've heard that a number of times.
Depends on who.
I retired once, and then it hit me that I need to go back and get another job when I was starting to know all the prices on Price is Right. It was time for me to get back to work.
So I do.
When I could outbid my wife on Price is Right, I knew the whole cast of Young and the Restless are my friends.
That's sad.
It's time to go back.
So I do have a question on the big page. It says anticipated assessor tax amount is a 2.2 increase.
Correct.
Is any increase not eaten up by the urban renewal district? And so therefore there's no increases to the district itself?
So this is a number that we got straight from the assessor's office projecting for our district.
They still pay it, it just goes into a different fund.
But they're seeing it as, it shouldn't be the district receiving it though.
But I get, we're looking at the valuation of the whole county, right? So even though this other project may not be paying taxes, the homes that are built, the value of the county goes up by 2%.
No, you're absolutely right.
2%.
Right.
No. There's other portions of the county that are not in urban renewal, right. So it's only the portions in there. All right, thanks
urban renewal is only 17.8% of the city of Grants Pass, so the whole rest of the county.
Yep. I'm just making sure I'm...
Nope, you got that.
All right.
Indirect and induced for the economists.
Okay, any more discussion on the proposed budget? Does everybody feel like they have their questions asked and answered enough? Awesome. So
just clarification for me, would you like me to leave that $24,000 in that capital outlay item for this budget period, or would you like that?
For the remodel?
For the car or the parking lot improvements.
Yeah.
Or would you like me to move that entire amount into the building fund? If we move it into the building fund, we can't access it for the other.
I support you getting a car.
Yeah, I do too.
I do too. And I think that's just a one-shot deal. Maybe we just divert it for 1 year or something. So you get your car. So
my proposal would be for the next person that does this, you purchase a car and then every year you put $5,000 into a vehicle replacement account. So that in 6 to 7 years, roughly 150,000 miles, you've already got the money to reinvest into
correct.
The next vehicle.
So I, yeah.
You'd just be funding that account the first time. You'd be buying the first car.
Correct.
That would be my preference, but the entire budget committee has a right to weigh in on that.
Yeah,
so.
without seeing what condition your parking lot is in out there, if I go out there and it's a minefield, you know, we may have to, you know, they need way more than $20,000, but.
It's about the same as my driveway.
But I share Commissioner Morgan's concerns with the bus. Does the school district pay a parking lot deal?
No, we probably need to, at a separate time, reach out to the school district and be starting to talk to them about what's going on in the area.
Yeah.
So there was a meeting.
We had a meeting recently.
Are they aware?
That area got together with Helene.
Property.
Yeah, she came in and took a look. And so what they were going to do was, one of the guys had it in with Public Works, was going to have them come over, because there's been no engineers looking at what really needs to be done. And kind of what they talked about was just taking out a portion of the lot where those trucks come in and out, the semis, as well as the buses, and just repaving that area. And so they were going to have Public Works come in and have an engineer look at it and say, what do we really need for a base here? What would it really kind of cost? And then they would have a rough idea of what the cost was. And then we had a certain percentage written in our contract that said we had to cover that. So that's where all that kind of came up.
Gotcha.
Well,
and I don't know where that's gone. We haven't heard any more since then. So
let's leave it. Let's leave it as is right now, because you can always adjust it in the next year if you see something different.
If you don't use it, it's still
so
there.
This year, let's leave it stand. I would say let's leave it stand as written.
Yeah.
That you're going to put $20,000 in the building and $24,000 or whatever it is in the parking lot or whatever. Let's leave it right there. If it doesn't need to happen, then it's going to be either at your next opportunity you can shift it over, because it'll actually be it will show up in your ending balance and
correct.
Your beginning balance to say, well, this was in our ending balance, and that's why it's up by 44,000. We want to move that into, we're going to use that for a car, whatever. I think let's address that
the next quarter. And there's a strong possibility we'll know more in 9 months.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll give us an opportunity.
Then you go, okay, let's do this.
A lot more questions in the near future, but that doesn't help us on this budget cycle.
Right.
I think let's leave it just the way as you proposed it. So, does that make sense?
So this time I'd like to open up for public comment, any comment the public would have on the proposed budget. Sue, I don't know if you count as public or not. If, do you have any comments you'd like to?
I'm good.
All right. So if there's nothing further, there's a proposed language that is in the form of a motion. If anybody would like to make that motion, or anyone is welcome to make any other motion they would like. But I would entertain a motion to approve the budget and the tax amounts.
Madam Chair, I move that the proposed budget for the Josephine County 4-H Extension Service District be approved as presented for the 2019-2020 fiscal year, and that the district be approved to impose taxes for the 2019-2020 fiscal year at the rate of 0.0459 cents per thousand assessed value for operating purposes.
I second that motion.
Here we go. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? I don't know if it's 0.0459 cents or $0.0459, but whichever it is, I know your intent.
Right.
Oh, dollars. Excuse me. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I rescind my second then.
Wow. Amended?
Amend. Yes.
Amend.
Rescind
and amend. Yeah, you're taking it all and going home? Hang on.
Amend? Okay, we got it. Thank you. We got it.
So,
because I'll be called on that one too. Yes, ma'am.
Seeing no further discussion, this is a popular man, just so you know.
Right.
Oh, it's one of his too?
My wife just rings him every now and then.
I say, yeah, go to the store and buy bananas.
He put himself on the national alert test, so they whenever they're alerting Arkansas, he gets it.
I never answer it, so it's not a big deal.
All right, so I'm going to ask that all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion carries 6-0. And, thank you. I would also entertain a motion to delegate the governing body to approve the minutes of this budget committee meeting. Would anybody be willing to make that
I'd
motion?
I'd make that motion.
Okay. I'll second it.
I'll second it.
All right. We'll let you second it. So essentially, this body doesn't meet for another year. And so as far as approving minutes and stuff like that, that it gives us the opportunity to bless the minutes for the meeting. So, and she does an outstanding job on minutes. So we can trust that, but
perfect.
All right. So, any further discussion on the motion? And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion carries 6-0. And if there's anything further, seeing none, we will be adjourned at 9:42. Thank you, everybody.